Hello, world.
Yo, yo.
You are now tuned in to the Divine Wine Hours. This is Tashia. Follow me on Twitter at SongbirdShia. Enjoy the show.
Look at that dope
voice,
bro.
Why do I sound like that? Why do
you
I sound
cute.
Like
what do you
that?
Mean? You're hella
I
cute, bro. Shut
oh,
up.
No, I'm not. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome to the Divine Wine Hours.
Can you tweet? Fuck. My app is like fucked up. So it's like me on the promo right now. It's like, it's dead. It's dead as fuck.
I know, you know what? I don't have my tablet. So
I think Twitter's tripping because I tried on the Google app. I tried on my Twitter app. It's just like, it's technically down. I'm like, okay, I'm finna get live on the air. Y'all want to be playing around. It ain't the time.
Are you serious?
Yes. But it's
That's
good.
Annoying.
It's okay. We got some regulars out there.
Yeah, so I think I do it from my laptop. I haven't tweeted from my laptop in so long.
Oh yeah, I mean
like
that's a good look
back,
though. Really. So let's give ourselves our shout outs. Let's give Nari her shout out first.
Yes, a shout out to Nari. She's not with us tonight, but we're gonna thug this thing out for her. And
this is for you, baby.
What? Oh, what? Yeah.
And so
yeah,
this is for her,
for
you know.
We love her, and we hope that her baby gets better. And we're going to have an awesome show in her honor.
We definitely are. So
okay.
That speaking was just, this is Songbird. That was Songbird Shia. So let's her give herself a proper shout out, especially because this is our business episode. So
yeah, and I'm excited. Yeah, so this is Shia. You can follow me on Twitter at Songbird Shia, or you can follow my company, Butter Me Up Good, and visit buttermeupgoods.com.
Holla.
Right.
So this is Mommy Hella Sacred on Twitter.
Yeah.
The mother of the arts. So, you know, this week I've been really grinding on business connections and everything. So I feel like this is a great time to be talking about business.
Definitely.
I mean, I do a lot. I'm into doula work. I do creative work, healing work. You know, I'm just a trill goddess. You know, you gotta fuck with me. So
right,
we're gonna get into
all
right. So right. We're gonna get into like our shit more in detail. But this really episode, we're all business women, and we really wanted to like, you know, to get kind of like behind the scenes of like who are we beyond like our personalities and opinions and shit. Like, what do we beyond?
Mm-hmm.
You know. So,
right.
Yeah, that's what this is about. So,
and
we're going to start with.
You,
oh, go ahead, girl.
I also want to give you guys some tips on starting your own business and, you know, if you already have your own business, to, like, keep it growing, keep it progressing, and finding different outlets to income so that you're not discouraged in the process.
Yeah,
I'm
very
discouraged. Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to tweet out that we're live. So.
Oh yeah, cool for sure. So, do you want to
okay.
start with your background with your business, or like me?
Yeah, I can start. Yeah, I'm not gonna.
Okay, go ahead, girl.
I'm not gonna make my story too long because, man.
Girl, we got 2 hours, girl. You got creative things to talk about. You got your Butter Me Up Good thing to talk about.
I know. But it's just the start of it. Let's see. I'm trying to sound. Okay. So I basically started my company in a very dark time in my life. I was very depressed and I was not happy. I was job hunting endlessly every single day.
What year did you start it?
I knew I wanted to do it in 2000, at the end of 2013, but at the beginning of 2014 is when I really got serious about it. So at that time, I was dealing with someone that was just emotionally draining me. And I felt like I was tired of everything in my life, like, falling apart. Like, I had mental breakdowns, like, almost every single day because I wanted to do things. I didn't feel independent. I felt like, you know, there's just, when you don't have money or you don't have things to do, to create or whatever, it's very discouraging and it's it just messes with you. So I started to do candles, but I didn't want to do something that would took a lot of investing. So I've been making
your candles are amazing though.
Thank you. I haven't done candles in so long. But I didn't want to do that because I felt like I'm impatient. I don't like to wait for candles to, like, cure in order for them to smell, you know, when they burn or whatever. So I was like, okay, I've been doing homemade products. I do, you know, my lotions, my deodorants, my facial masks, all that stuff. So why not create a business selling my own products? So I was very, 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 very clueless. I didn't know what I was doing. And I was still job hunting, and I felt like, okay, how am I going to start my own business? I don't have no means of income. So I was still job hunting. I finally got a job at TJ Maxx, which is weird because me and Sequoia are working at the same job at the same time.
It was like the most random job that we, like, never would work. Like, it just was like, it served its purpose.
Right, I don't know. Me and Sequoia just, like, so freaking aligned. Like, we have so many similarities. So, it was in another city. It took me like 30 or 40 minutes to get there every day, and it would take like an hour to get home. And I just was uncomfortable with that because the car I had at the time would, like, stop on me, like, randomly cut off. And I'm just, like, in a city where I don't know anyone. And I'm just like, is this worth it, you know? So, and then at the time it was, like, during the holidays. And I'm just like, okay, I'm getting paid $6.55 an hour and I'm barely working. Like, this is not what a 23-year-old needs in there. For me, it didn't feel like that's what I needed. I feel like I need more stable financial income if I'm going to start my own business. So what else happened? Yeah, so I just didn't feel happy with where I was at, and I just decided to quit because, one, I didn't want my car to be cutting off on me on the highway. And I didn't feel safe coming home at night, and it just didn't feel right. And at that time, it was, you know, I was like, I'm going to do this business thing. I'm going to put my all into it. So I did a lot of research on business loans and how to start a business, and everything was just, like, overwhelming because I didn't look at it like that. I was like, look, I want to get my products. Once I'm on my website, I want to get this out here. So what else did I do? I'm really trying to remember. I can't believe it's been almost like 3 years since I started my company. But at the time I had really supportive friends. That's the major key. You need to have really supportive friends that, you know, are gonna help you, like, motivate you through the process, because it does become discouraging. So it's like, how can you reach people? How can you tell people about your business? So, I actually wrote a lot of things down. That really helped me a lot to create, like, a checklist of prices for my website, prices for my jars, my products, and all that type of stuff. And it's for me personally, I think it's better to write things down so that you're not overwhelmed with how much money you need to start your business. You can do, like, a certain goal you want to reach to start your business, so that it's not like you need thousands of dollars to invest and start your own business, because I honestly only started with a few dollars with my business, thankfully. You know, not everyone has that privilege, but I'm just saying, don't feel like you need thousands and millions of dollars to start your own company, because you don't. I really had some really, really, really wonderful people supporting me. Like, when I launched my company, and I haven't even launched my company myself. I posted my website, I just got orders, and that was, like, the day of launch. And everyone showed me so much love. Like, I was so emotional. I was crying like a baby. I'm just like, oh, my God, like, this is real. So, yeah, since that day, like, it's been a learning experience. Like, you really learn so much about yourself when you start your own business. I've learned a lot, and I'm still learning, but that's why I'm starting my own online business classes, because a lot of young women and men have a lot of questions, and they think it's very hard to start your own business, and it's really not. And I want to give the little bit of knowledge that I have to help anyone to start their own business. So it's not that hard, I promise. You just need to stay focused, write down everything, have a great support system, believe in what you're building, and really believe that one thing that always stuck in my head is if these major corporations can start small and become multi-billionaires, why can't I do the same thing, you know? So that's just a little bit of my story, but yeah, Koi, you care to share your story?
Oh, hold on, you gotta get into a little bit of the music, because it's still business related. It's not like it's still business related.
Yeah, I could get into the music, but I feel like it's so, man, that is like way deeper than that, but my music career, my business, Buddingham Goods, is actually my funding system for my music career, because I love my business and everything. Huh?
I said, okay, that's what I'm trying to, because a lot of people don't think about that. Like, okay, you know, I want to be creative and I want to do these things,
right,
but I need to have a job. So they feel like they have to choose between the two. So that's kind of why I wanted to bring it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So, because I actually was talking to a lady last week about, she wants to start her own dance company, and she wants to start it, but she needs a side hustle or whatever. And that's perfectly fine, because Buddy Me Up Good is my company. I never thought I would have my own company at 23, 24 years old, and I'm thankful for it. But at the same time, music is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So Buddy Me Up Good is helping me get to fund my music career. So while I'm running a business, I'm learning so many things that's going to help me with my music career, like my finances, how to deal with people, managing things, hiring people, you know, when contracts and money is involved. Like, you really need to be smart about these things. So if I hadn't started my business, I would be even more clueless if I did my music first. You know, I would probably be getting finessed left and right. So I'm just really thankful for my company. That's definitely something we need to discuss, because if you're wanting something, like, huge out of life, but you, like Sequoia said, don't want to choose, you can always create, you know, a business or a side hustle to fund that. You don't always have to work for someone. It is possible to work for yourself and make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be a good segment tonight.
Yeah, real shit, right? Real shit.
So I'm curious to hear your story. Because I've been a part of your journey, but, you know, it's some things that I don't know, so I'm really excited to, you know, hear about it.
Sure. I'm scattered. I have multiple hustles. I have multiple ambitions and things, callings that I have to do just so I don't go crazy with, like, the weight of responsibility on making this kind of stuff happen. So, I mean, there's a few beginnings, because basically what you guys know me as right now, you know, there's still so much more behind the scenes work, you know, and Toshia kind of knows, you know, just, like, the level I'm talking about, but, like,
right,
I do a lot, and I want to do a lot. I have like a bit, like I've always had this really big vision to like change the world in a way, and I just look at everything as my medium. I want to touch everything, get my hands in everything, and just really leave like my mark because there's a reason for that. But right now, mm-hmm. what I have out that I've been working with is I do poetry, spoken word, and I always had a vision of creating a book. Like I've always been into books. So, like, I've been writing since I was, like, 16, and even before that, but really, like, especially in then, and even having, you know, back in my space days, having online presence just with, like, writing poetry on there and stuff.
Right.
So that has its own life, and then I also, like, my other main thing that I'm doing that I'm kind of, like, known for is that I'm a doula, and I got into being a doula because I was in college at the time. I was watching like crazy amount of documentaries. That's what I was like known for. And I came across a documentary that had doulas in it, which is called The Business of Being Born. And it basically just like talks about how shitty the birth industry is in America. And like I just felt very connected to what they were talking about and, you know, how powerful like birth could be and empowering. And I really felt a call to be a part of it. And so when I heard about doulas, like I was very intrigued, but nothing like was like, okay, you need to do this now. But at the same time, the reason that was resonating with me is that I originally had went to school and I was like a sociology major. And then I changed to being a philosophy major. And I was in this like spiritual quest of something, because before that I was going to get into ministry before I went to college. But yeah, I went and I was a philosophy major. And so I was studying things about like the goddess at that time. And so doula work really tied into like the goddess. So like connected to like my kind of idea for ministry. And so, you know, just on that journey with myself, it just planted a seed. But when I was in college, I worked through AmeriCorps at a preschool, like for at-risk youth. And I fell in love with working with kids. And before that, when I was younger, it's so ironic. Like I would have never heard me talking about working with kids. I had like no patience. Like I hate kids, you know, like they vibe with me, but I just can't work with them. But when I went in that preschool, like it just was a life-changing experience. And I decided I want to become a teacher. Mm-hmm. And so to continue working with kids, I stopped working with, like, I used to work downtown in San Francisco with, like, little front desk kind of, like, jobs and stuff. And so I'm like, you know, I'm going to change it. I'm going to start working with kids. So I started working, like, as a mother's helper and, like, as a nanny and babysitter and, like, in very, like, affluent families in San Francisco. And everybody really took to me. And so then being just around that, it kind of got me back interested in doula work. And one time Erica Badu was on Twitter when she was talking about, like, you know, being a doula. And it just repeated.
Right.
It reminded me that I was interested. So I was like, you know, I'm going to take a training now. And I just did it. And so I did that in, like, first training was late 2010 and an early one in 2011. And so first training I ever went to, like, I fell in love with the people there. They were like so similar to me, like so loving and caring about each other. And I'm just like, wow, like it's so rare to like be around people like this and to have like the whole field of people that are like this is like, it was just really beautiful. So I just, you know, I got hooked into that. And then there's just so many realms and layers of like myself connected to birth work and spirituality and sexuality. And it just started evolving into like, because like Toshi is saying, like you learn so much about yourself, like when you have a business, because you have to be very passionate about what you're doing. So you have to figure out like about yourself. What do I value? Like, what do I believe in? What do I want to create more of? What do I want to give my energy and life into, you know?
Right.
And yeah, so that's how I got into doula work, and it's expanded. It's, you know, as I grow and as I evolve and I learn more things about myself, the thing about being a doula is like you have to be a hustler. Like, you know, you might have like birth clients, but you know, they're not, you know, that's not everyday income. So you're
right,
going to probably have another
exactly.
job. Like a lot of times, like a birth doula is probably going to, like, she might be a prenatal yoga instructor on a regular, like, more time, or a massage therapist or a nurse or whatever, and she also does births, or like she might be a teacher or something, or she could be a postpartum doula, but she also like rents out birthing tubs, you know what I mean, and she also does lactation consulting and has just different kind of clientele, or she might do birth photography or film work or something like that in conjunction like with the work that she's doing, because as a doula you're also kind of in a revolutionary act, so there's a lot of like documentation that's very important, just like with Black women having their own businesses, you know what I mean? Just the simple fact that you're a Black woman that has a business, people want to like they want to get to know you, they want to like write articles about you, they want to like photograph you, they want, you know, all of these things to like
right.
get it more into the consciousness of the world, because it's more of what's needed, you know.
And
so there's just a lot of different energy that you're working with when you're doing work that really matters and is needed. And it's really cool because when I had my experience working, just I've always been a go-getter. I've always worked since I started working at 12, and then I got a job like when I was 16, like a real, you know, job in retail.
Mm-hmm.
And even there, it's like it's all about your attitude, you know what I mean, and like what you can do with it. But at the same time, it's like when you have your own business, you make your own rules. You decide when you want to work. You decide
right.
how much money do I want to make. You decide, like, what are my work schedule going to be? When do I want to take a vacation? When do I want to take a day off? But then at the same time, you have to be extremely responsible, because you're like, okay, how much percentage do I have to put up for taxes? How much money
right.
can I take from this and flip? And how much can I put to the side to save for me? And then how much to the side can I put for investing in myself, which is going to invest in my business? So it's a lot of different things. And then navigating, like, the whole you having a relationship, you having children, you having family members, you having girlfriends and all that, like it's a lot of
mm-hmm.
things you have to be very balanced in order to be able to handle even running your own business, because a lot of people take things personally too, like when you're doing that, but that's like another subject. So those are like the two main things that I do. But when my doula work has like really tapped me into just sexuality and just like my love for that, and so that's because you're using your sexual energy with birthing. So it really got me connected into that. And so, like, that just opened up the floodgates of just, like, a whole nother learning, a dimension of myself and me wanting to, like, share that with people and let them learn about themselves in the same way, which is kind of, like, what I'm under the works of, you know, offering as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that was, like, so long-winded, but...
I know, it seemed like that, but it's really not. Like, that was really informational. I want to hear, well, I don't know if this is a little too long for you, but you're writing your books and your children's books and
mm-hmm.
your other creative outlets. How do you, like you were talking about balancing, I know you've always been, like you have all these creative outlets, but it's like you can't pencil them all at once because of the process.
Yeah.
So how
mm-hmm.
so how do you balance now with your doula work and your other creative outlets?
Mm-hmm. I let myself flow. Before,
mm-hmm.
like for me, it's like I have my own rhythms. I have my own cycles. I have my own moods. I'm very like moody. And like people always, and I don't know, it also could be a factor like that you're a woman. Women just move differently. We can do a lot of different things at once. We can handle a lot of different things
right.
at once. We'll handle lots of different energies and things like that. So I think that's one thing. It's like before people would tell me like you need to focus on one thing. And it's like
mm-hmm.
I can't do
that. And sometimes
like,
we feel that
like,
way.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, I need to focus on one thing, but, like, for me, really, I learned about myself is, like, I don't need to focus on one thing as more as, like, I just need to be more organized about the many things that I'm doing. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And, like, what Sophia was saying, like, the importance of writing something things down, like, okay, I want to work, maybe, you know, looking at the timetable of, like, okay, I have all of these callings of what I want to do, but what does it look like for
mm-hmm.
this to actually manifest? Like, what are little things
right.
I can do at the time? And if the inspiration isn't there to, like, not work on that project, then just understand that it's not the time for that, you know, and it'll
exactly.
come into fruition on its own timetable. It has its own reasoning for coming out at that time, and just honoring my feelings, honoring, like, when I feel like writing a poem, like, nigga, I'm about to write a poem. Like, when I feel like, you know, I want to focus on, like, doula work right now, like, that's what I'm going to do. But also, like,
right.
Carving out me time is essential. If you don't have me time, you're not going to be centered enough to even know what's going on in your life to be able to handle all the things that are going on. So, like,
and
being
you're not
going to
be happy either.
Exactly. You have to be selfish as fuck when you have your own business, because you have to be able to have energy to get put into your business and to put into your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't put anything into yourself, like, you're going to have all of these different resentments towards people that are tugging at you because you're like, I don't even have anything for myself. How can you expect me to do all these things? You want your orders right away. You want, you know, you, my
right.
kids want to spend time with me now. My boyfriend wants me now. And like, it's like, bruh, I haven't even sat down and like took 5 deep breaths in like three weeks or whatever. Like, you have
right.
to carve out me time. So for me, like, I just kind of like, when I get a vision, I just honor like, okay, this is something that's going to manifest and just work on it as it comes. But when I feel like the momentum of like it picking up and spirit revealing more things to me about like, okay, this is something you need to focus on and manifesting and like holding myself accountable to completing that when I know it's really it's on and popping now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's like seems very vague, but like I do write things down like, you know, I want to do something by this date or at least this season. Like, I like doing things in seasons. Like, I want to launch this mm-hmm. in this season. I want to launch this in this season. Because kind of when I do that, it kind of gives me some wiggle room to be flexible and fluid and let things flow as opposed to, like, this is the
right.
actual date. You know what I mean? Because there might be, like, some lessons I haven't learned yet that I need to before I can even manifest that.
Right.
Yeah, so I like doing seasons, but, I mean, believe me, like, there has been times, like, where I've wanted to release things, and they didn't actually manifest till years later, like, even this radio show, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And, like,
yeah.
really just practicing non-judgment on yourself, like, if something's not manifesting and it's not time, like, not feeling guilty yourself about it or feeling bad about it, you know, just being like, okay, it is what it is, but this is what I can focus on right now. Even if
mm-hmm.
it's, you don't need to be doing anything. Maybe you just need to, like, be still and, like, not be doing shit,
and let
you know?
Things work for you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely understand you on that. I actually struggled for the very longest between my business and having me time and doing music and having other creative outlets because music really is everything to me. When I'm in the studio, when I'm in my own personal studio or whatever, like, it's just an element that I can't explain. So me now, all of my time is given to my business, and it's almost like music is my child, and I feel like I'm kind of like abandoning it because I'm growing my business and I'm learning a lot from it. And it's like you have to, it's teaching me patience, really, because I don't have patience at all. So it's definitely preparing me for a lot of things. And when I started my business, see, I'm the type of person, I'm a workaholic. I don't believe in resting until it feels like, you know, like until it just feels like, okay, you need to do whatever. When I started my business, I was just like overworking for no reason. Like, girl, this is your business. You make time for things and, you know, you schedule your own life however you want to. And I was just, like, always overwhelmed. Like, I'm not working for anybody. No one's forcing me to do anything. Like, why am I overworking myself? And it taught me a lot because I would get anxiety attacks. I would just not be happy. And I just felt like, what's the purpose of starting your own business if you're going to, you know, not treat yourself well? So I had to really sit down and write things out, you know, when I'm going to do this, when I'm going to do orders, when I'm going to order things, when I'm going to ship out things. Like, you really have, you know, take things at a pace that you're comfortable with. Don't overdo it, you know. You just really have to trust the process of everything. So while I've been doing that, I've been like, okay, trying to get to a stable space in my life where I'm able to balance my business and my music. And it's just kind of like, it's not that time yet because I haven't written anything. I haven't, you know, got any beats or anything like that. So I'm just like, okay, universe, I need my music. When am I going to get my music? And it's just like, maybe I just need to grow a little bit more and learn a lot more things before I get to that point, because I feel like if I'm presented with it now, I probably wouldn't know how to handle it. So, you know, when you're in the process of things, you have to trust it. You know, don't force it. Don't overthink it. Just trust the process, like, for real.
That's true, man. Like, I've reflected, like, you know, because I do music, too. Like, I just got into music, like, a couple years ago, and, like, I really wanted to put out, like, a lot of just because I felt really just so connected to it. And, like, mm-hmm. now I'm just, reflecting on myself recently. Like, bruh, if I put out music of where I was 2 years ago, it would be, like, mm-hmm. just not what I would want to, like, have
right.
represented myself as. You know what I mean? And it's, like,
right.
I hadn't even fully found myself to even put who I am out to the world yet, you know? I still needed
right.
to mold myself more. Yeah.
That's very true, because I feel the same way. Like, I wrote a whole lot. Like, 2013 to 2015, early 2015, I had so much. Like, I was writing left and right every single day. And it was so much good writing. But if I would have put it out then, I would have been a mess. Like, it would probably be so embarrassing for me. So I'm okay with, you know, being patient and just writing it out, because, you know, we want things when we think we want them, but when the universe gives us just a piece of it, we freak out and we're just like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. So it's,
man,
I've like,
been thinking the whole
yeah.
time, like, bruh, once it start popping, I'm like, I don't know how to handle
right.
this. Like, you know, like, I've been seeing people that, like,
yeah.
like, I was just watching somebody today that, like, she was, you know, on her shit and she just, like, made it, like, hella big out of nowhere, like, just flying all over the world all of a sudden. I'm just like, bro, whoa, like, I can't even
right.
imagine, like, how fucking mind-blowing and, like, rooted in yourself you really have to be for, like, when shit really takes off, like, how it's meant to. Like, you're packing
right.
out, like, big-ass coliseums, bruh, like, of, like, thousands
right.
of people being influenced by, like, what you're saying and, like, how sacred you have to hold, like, that responsibility of influencing people's lives, you know? Like, it's really serious, and you really have to know yourself to give something worth hearing or feeling or connecting to.
That is so, so true, because I honestly, I'm so glad. I've always wanted to do music. Like, I really started when I was 16, and I recorded my first song. I'm just thinking, like, every time I do music, I always think that, like, man, if I had to start if at 16, the music industry would have ate me alive. Like, I'm still learning who I am. I'm learning things that I like and what I don't like. Like, it's worth the wait, I promise you. Like, don't rush anything. Just trust that the universe is always working and moving something for you.
Yes, that's, man, like, it's hard, though. I know it's, like, so hard, but, like, I just, like, there's, like, this point, like, when you're learning to love yourself and believe what you're doing, you're kind of, like, faking it for a little while, you know? Like, kind of to give yourself hella pep talks, like, you know, you're made to do this. You can really do it, and, you know, you're good. Like, stop worrying and stressing. But, like, over time, like, as you do that, you're going to, like, start owning that, like, real shit. Like, I really have to do this, you know. I'm smart about it. I have the right energy around me to keep it nourished, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
it's, like, it's not a question to you anymore. It's more, like, now, and I feel like that's kind of where I'm, like, evolving into. It's, like, now it's just I have to make smart moves, you know what I mean? I know I'm fully capable
right.
of, like, whatever I put my mind to. Like, it's going to be a good, powerful thing. But, like, it's not a matter of me, like, being insecure about it anymore, you know? And you have to, like, overcome
mm-hmm.
that. So it's, like, it's good to, like, before you really are out there, you've dealt with certain insecurities. Because if you get into the system, like, or making it industry, like, in that kind of state, or just even in business,
mm-hmm.
you know, real snakes out here. It's a dog-eat-dog
yes.
world. Like, you have to, like, be able to hold your own and be like, I'm not prey out here, you know, like I'm rooted in who I am and what I stand for, what I'm about, and like,
right.
I'm not like dependent upon you to like, it's going to happen regardless. You can be a part of it, but you're not determining anything. It's already written. Like once you get to like that kind of space, it's a lot more chill, but it takes a lot to get there. Especially if you're like dealing with the relationships that's tearing you down and like picking on those insecurities. That's why it's so hard. Like I feel like when people want to make it and whatever they're doing, like, and they have like, they don't want to be in a relationship because it's like, it's so hard to be like, to even find somebody capable of being in a healthy relationship, you know, and you're trying to like, trying to have a healthy relationship with your business or your art. And then you have this other energy that's coming at you as a relationship that's not healthy. It just works against each other.
And then it like comes out in your art too. If it's not a good relationship, I mean, your art kind of suffers, you know?
Yeah. But, and then it feeds other people's like shitty things that are going on in their life. Cause that's how they relate to it. That's how they can connect with it. You know, that's why we have like hella drugged out trippy music. And it's like no shade. Like I feel it. Like this is a fucked up reality. I understand why you want to be drugged out and tripped out. But then at the same time, it's like, are we promoting it in the way like that it can be used? You know, like drugs can be used for like a very spiritual purpose, but it's not being used for that. It's being used to numb people, and you know, that's a whole other story. But you know what I'm saying?
Though.
Right? Yeah.
I had to learn that a while back with my business. You have to really know what your business, your art stands for, and the vision that you have for it. Because my vision that I always stand by and what I stand for is to have a Black-owned company, and that's a billion-dollar Black-owned company. And I feel like when people send me emails, dropping names and all this too-good-to-be-true stuff, and you have interviews with them, it's like they're waving all of these things they can do for you, but they don't even know what your company represents. They don't know nothing about you. They haven't even asked you nothing about your business, but they want to, quote-unquote, invest in it. So how can you invest in something that you have absolutely no idea about, but you want to do all these things for me? And you have to really watch out for people like that, because when whoever that I decide to work with or hire, whatever, I want them to understand that my company is rooted in my Black culture. And for me, I find it right now very hard to work with anyone, because I feel like everything is so whitewashed and you have to present yourself in a certain way to appeal to certain people. And I feel like that's why a lot of Black-owned companies aren't Black-owned anymore, because they see this dollar sign figure, and it's just like, oh, well, you can have a piece of this or whatever, and it's not even your company anymore. So it's like you were all these years and worked this hard to build this company, and now it's not even yours anymore. So I feel like in the space that I'm in, I have to work a little bit more, which I don't mind, to make sure that my vision comes to life, because I really, really am going to have a Black-owned company that's worth $1 billion+. Like, I really and truly believe that. So if I have to work a little bit harder, that's perfectly fine with me. It's just you really have to watch out for people that want to take advantage of you. So be sure that you know what your vision is, and, you know, everything that you have written out, make sure that you stick by it, because it's so easy to get, you know, distracted.
That's so true. I feel like there was some couple topics that we wanted to specifically talk about with business. And I remember, like, one of the things I really kind of wanted to touch on was, like, the difference between working for working for yourself and working for somebody else. Because people have brought up, like, an interesting thing where they say, like, not everyone is made to, like, be the boss. Like, everyone, you know, there might just be certain people that are supposed to, like, create things. And other people have different purposes. So, like, and in that scenario, of course, there's other people working under you, being kind of more of the employee under, like, a certain vision. So, like I'm kind of interested, what do you feel about that, and, like, just working for yourself and working under somebody else?
Well, from my personal experience, oh man. Well, all my jobs working for someone that's always been retail, like, oh my God, retail, it teach, when you're like young, it teaches you a lot because it teaches you how to work with people and work with the public. And honestly, when I first started working at my first clothing store, I wore heels on my first day because I thought, like, you're just pretty and you don't really do anything all day. And boy, was I wrong. That really taught me a lot. And you meet so many different people every day, you know, bad attitudes, good people, you know, all sorts of people. But for me, I feel like it was okay when I was young because, you know, you need money to do things and you feel like you're independent when you get your first paycheck. But when you get older and you have bills and you feel like you want to travel and you want to do all these sorts of things, it's kind of like, well, for me, I feel like I just got tired. And where I'm from, too, because the jobs here are just, like, non-existent. So it's like I'm tired of job hunting. I'm tired of feeling unhappy and working for someone that makes me feel like they're in control of you or whatever, at least for me. So I'm just like...
I have a brief question about that.
Because
live, I live in California, and there's, like, lots of job opportunities here. And so, like, when I talk to people in other areas, they say, like, there's not, you know, there's not jobs. And so for me, like, I can't even, like, imagine how that really is. So do you feel like the internet can be, like, is, like, a huge resource for, like, locations like that where there's not physically a lot of jobs, you know what I mean? But you're able to, like, reach a bigger audience and community through, like, the web. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, definitely, because actually a lot of people suggested when I started my business to, like, sell at local flea markets and stores or whatever. I'm just like, what flea markets and what stores? Because, nigga, there's nothing here. So I'm like, I would have a better chance of putting myself online. And it's still like that now. Like, I still barely, like, I have a few people locally, but, like, I'm not pushing it locally because, first of all, the culture here is, the Black culture here is, like, non-existent. So I can't really, you know, reach people like
the market.
And then right, and then people questioning you, you know, like, they don't think it's serious. So then I don't want to deal with that. So it's just, like, very discouraging, especially when you've grown so much. So I never started doing it locally because I just knew it wouldn't turn out how I want it to be. So the internet is definitely great to start your business off with if you're, like, in a place where there's no jobs or no opportunities or no culture or whatever, because in Alabama and where I live, it's just, like, it's depressing. Like, people are, like, they laugh when I tell them that, but it's really depressing here because there's no jobs. And And I just think about the kids, like, that have big dreams. Because I was always like that when I was growing up. There's, like, you have all these dreams, and there's no opportunities to make them happen. You really have to travel to a whole other state to make it happen. So, yeah, so that for me, there's really no jobs where I live. And if you're in that type of situation, do it online because you can touch so many people, inspire so many people. And you can become successful, and the internet is really powerful. Like, it really is.
So I just have another question. Like, I'm not trying to, like, interview you, but, like,
you're good.
I think, like, a key thing is, like, when you're in that kind of environment, like, when you're in that kind of, just in business, like, you have to know your market and, like, how to reach your market. And so when you're doing that online, you know, what are ways that you, like, build up your audience and reach your demographic? And I know, like, you're a great woman with your advertisement. I feel like, because you're very consistent
it,
and I'm sure that's, like, paid off. So, like, what are just any tips that you can say about that?
Well, when I started my advertising, when I started my business, actually, I didn't realize how important advertising was because I didn't know how to, and I'm just like, well, how am I going to get people to, I started my Instagram, how am I going to get them to know who I am? And I'm just like, okay, I learned about hashtags, and I learned about posting things that people are going to read and not just be like, you know, brush out. You really have to catch people's attention. Otherwise, it's just, they're just going to look past it. And the way I look at it is I want to create something that I would look at, because a lot of younger people, you know, they, whatever they see is eye-catching, they're going to, you know, give a look at it or whatever. So, what was I going to say? I really just had a brain fart. oh, my God. I cannot believe I forgot what I was going to say. What was the question again, Sequoia? I don't really care what I was going to say.
I was just asking you, like, what are tips that you can give people to reach your audience online?
So my tips are create things that catch people's attention. If you're going to type something out, and I'm not telling anybody how to do whatever they're going to do, but for me, type things out that's not so long and lengthy that where it's just like, oh, I'm not reading that. Like, get straight to the point. You know, when you're doing graphic advertising or whatever, make it really professional as you possibly can. And another thing that's important for me is to, like, reach out to your audience, like, talk to them, like, be in the loop of what's going on. Don't just, like, be advertising your business all day. Like, really connect with the people that you're following on Twitter and Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Like, this is your audience. These are people that are buying your products, that are investing in your business and your art. Like, get to know them and build these relationships. That's one thing that I learned working in retail. Always have a relationship with your customers. It's very important. It keeps them coming back. It keeps them, you know, the word of mouth of them reaching out to somebody else about your company and your art. So always connect with your people. Like, be real, be honest. Don't fake the funk. Like, just be as authentic as possible. And yeah, that's what I do. So, and I try to always, I'm always experimenting with something that's beneficial to everyone. So, you know, look for a creative outlet to keep your business and your art progressing. And yeah, that's about it.
I think those were all. Oh, go ahead.
Now I was going to ask you the same question, and thank you, because I do promote a lot, but I feel like it's very important, because how else are you going to get your work out there if you don't promote it?
Yeah.
It's a difference in promoting and spamming. Like, people don't understand that. And when you do it, be strategic about it. Like, you know, don't be like the weirdos that, like, promote their music and random stuff. Like, be smart, be strategic, and, yeah, just reach out to your audience and be authentic about it.
Real shit. I wanted to just comment just about one thing that you're talking about, like, the connection of, like, building with your audience, or, you know, mm-hmm. being genuine like that. Like, one thing I really learned from Sister Nubia and spiritual connection to your business is, like, your audience is going to tell you what you need to create. So, like, once you start already on that role of, like, what are you about? What do you want to do? Like, they're going to tell you. So, like, things, like, I'm going to be offering are, like, things people have came up to me, like, and it's what kind of, like, triggered me, like, yo, I'm good at this, and, like, you know, I can, like, help, I can offer this, and people are interested in that, you know? So it's, like, I'm creating, the job created itself, you know what I mean? So, like, that was, like, very beautiful. And so, like, when I try and help people with business, I always tell them, like, what can you do that you're good at, that you like first? Make a list of all of those things. Then how can you turn that into a business? You know what I mean? Are you
exactly.
good at public speaking, or you can become a motivational speaker? Okay, you're good at, like, doing spoken word, but, like, if you don't want to, like, be a famous spoken word artist, like, can you give workshops on writing poetry and expressing yourself and, you know, all of these, just so many different things that you can do. So for me, with reaching my audience, like, I have so many different audiences, but it's like, mm-hmm. the first thing that I do is, like, what Toshiya said, is I really think about it as, like, myself. If I was a customer, how would I want to be approached? How would I want to be reached? Where would I be if I was this customer that I could get connected to?
Right.
Them? Whether that's in person, whether that's online, you know, just thinking of, you know, this is customer service. Any kind of thing you're doing is a customer service. You're trying to connect mm-hmm. with somebody, you know. But just how I connect with people is, like, I knowing and keeping my business in alignment of that, that's my life. Because mm-hmm. when your business is aligned to your life, you don't have to promote it, really. You're promoting yourself. You know, it's not, you're promoting
right.
some character. You're not promoting some, like, ideal about a company, because the company is your ideal already. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, you're promoting things that you believe in, and this is just something that it embodies. So for me, it's like being just one, when I'm out and about a lot, so just being really aware and connected to, like, where I am, and if people are talking about something, I could, like, you know, connect with them and say, like, yo, I do this, you know, and just being aware in that way. That's promotion in a sense. And then I already, like, using the tools I already had, using the audience I'd already had, whether it's from, like, Facebook friends from high school, you know, because they became mm-hmm. mothers, or using, like, I had a Twitter presence. So it's like that, I kind of had, like, a community
yeah.
already I could go and give my books to, or, you know, these things that I'm offering. And, you know, they already fuck with me just as a person, so they're going to fuck with, like, what I'm creating. And then once you do, you have, you know, just some kind of audience, giving quality as fuck, going above and beyond, giving quality as fuck, whatever you're giving. Because that's going to, like, show people you care, and it's going to keep them coming back. And when you go above and beyond, it makes you stand out. And when you stand out in somebody's
right.
mind, they're usually going to tell somebody else about you. And then you
yeah.
start getting your own, you can start getting your own referrals, and the connections start building, because now other people are doing the promo for you. You know what I mean? So, like, with my doula mm-hmm. work, I first got back into doula work after 2 years of a break, just of coming back home and
yeah.
just following an intuition of putting a post online about looking for doulas, like, doula work, which is not even a site. There's usually a lot of doula work, but another doula looking for a partner, and her just taking me back into, like, the community work and just giving me a lot of referrals. But then, because I did such an amazing job, every time she sent me on a job, she wanted to keep fucking with me. And the families that
yeah.
were fucking with me, they would tell other families about me. And so, like, my business started booming just because of me trusting my intuition and me being, you know, a good partner and things like that, and just being a quality businesswoman and representing myself in a professional way. And it just, like, I've just gotten clients now from, like, referrals. Like, the clients that I have now are just from referrals from past clients. And,
wow.
you know, that once you're, you know, you're kind of doing that, it just grows. Because I know myself, like, when I find something that's, like, trill as fuck, you know, I'm trying to put all my friends on, all my family
yeah.
on, like, yo, you got to get this toothpaste. Like, it's hella, or you need this face
yeah.
mask, bro. Like, I was using this face mask,
yeah.
again, bro. My skin was looking right, girl. You need to look right, too. Or, you know, I was listening to this song, and it was, like, this person's music is, like, really motivates me and, like, feeds me. Yo,
exactly.
you need to get on this, like, you know, so you can be on this, too. So, I mean, that's just kind of what I do. And knowing my market, knowing, you know, what is, you know, the correct pay and what am I worth. And sometimes even when you're charging things more that are expensive, even though you're scared
man.
It's going to push some people away, it actually draws more people
yeah.
to you, because it shows that you value yourself. And, you know, I'm not just the average whatever. So you got to pay a little
right.
extra for that extra, that quality shit. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I think
that'll
be
comment on
too.
That. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I definitely want to comment on that, because that's one thing that I struggled with when I started my business was like the pricing, because I'm like, I want to make it affordable, but I don't want it to be like too high, and it's like people won't buy it. But now that I've grown from that. It's just like, dog, I put so much work and so much into my products and the work that I do. Like, it's worth, you know, whatever the price that I decide to make it. Like, don't be afraid to put a price, a worthy price on your art or your business products or whatever, because you have to, a lot of people don't, like, the outsiders don't understand how much you have to invest into your work and whatever that you do. Like, this ain't something that you just like cheap stuff. Like, this is like really quality stuff. So it's, don't be afraid to make a price that you feel is worthy of your time and your work. Like, I've really had to learn that the hard way, and I'm so glad that I'm in a place where I'm just like I'm aware of what my company is worth, you know, because a lot of people struggle with that. I just want to add in my 2 cents on that.
Yeah, I think that's so true. Like, it's been so hard for me to really value myself and my work, like, as a doula, and, you know, just coming over that, like, scarcity mindset and poverty, like, that I don't deserve, mm-hmm. like, wage or whatever, especially when you make a business and you don't have, like, a background in business as far as, like, a degree.
Yeah.
You know, because people exactly. make it seem like you have to go to college or you have to have all of this certain years of training and shit to, like, be worth this price per hour and shit. And, like, bro, that's
exactly.
bullshit, you know? So not true.
Yeah. I remember when I used to apply for receptionist jobs, it's like, you got to have all of this just to sit at the front desk and answer phone calls.
And like, really? You're giving me like $7 an hour for all this work. Like,
right?
Really?
And you would think reception jobs would pay a lot more, but like, that's, man, you know what? I don't have anything against people that work a 9-to-5 or whatever, because that's sometimes you just have to do what you have to do. But you can also still be building your own company, so you don't have to live in that cycle. Like, if you take the time to invest, like, you invest in everything else, why not invest in yourself and do something that you can get out of the system from? You know what I mean? So
I think also, like, just like you're saying about the system, like, having your own business is very, like, revolutionary, because
mm-hmm.
you're not accepting the status quo. You're like, you know, I'm going to make some other shit. I'm going to make my own lane and, like,
right.
you know, especially, like, things that are nourishing to communities that are not, like, thought of, or, you know, like, with my books.
Yeah.
Like, my children's books that I specifically want to get into are, like, they're definitely going to be, Afrocentric, or not even Afrocentric, but
right.
just, you know, representation of Black children and their experience,
right.
and just affirming their reality and that they matter and that their stories matter, and connecting them to things that we have lost, you know, touch with. And
exactly.
so that, all of that's revolutionary, natural, like, so she is Nari's business, you know, things that cater to marginalized people. And affirming, like,
mm-hmm.
affirming your lives, really, because the community, like, the reality of white supremacy and all of the systems of oppression is, like, trying everything it can to demolish you. So anything that
mm-hmm.
you can find that is trying to build you up and affirm you and love on you is so revolutionary and just so deserving of just reverence and honor and respect, just for, like, how much courage it takes, because just to be in the person behind the business, to be in a mental state where they want to affirm all of these things that majority of people want to, like, not give a fuck about, it says
mm-hmm.
a lot, and it takes a lot from that person.
Right. Definitely. Yeah.
I think there were some
so...
other things I wanted to touch on. I'm going to, like, check
okay.
really quickly. Okay, 1 second.
Okay.
Okay. Wait.
So if you guys are out there listening, I hope you guys are taking notes and really absorbing everything that we're saying, because we have been on a serious journey with starting our businesses and other creative outlets. It's a lot of learning and growing, but it's so worth it.
I remember two things I wanted to mention here tonight mm-hmm. is dealing with the expansion of your business and then, like, what are things that, like, help you stay organized and things like that. So we can deal with the expansion thing and then get into organization because I feel like that kind of flows
okay.
after.
Okay. So
do you have anything you want to say about it? It doesn't
yes,
matter.
I definitely. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to say, when you have already started your business and you're trying to expand or you're trying to reach out more, for me, I struggle with that a lot because when you first start, you can't really when you're selling products, I should say, your business is not going to always be the same. You know, you're not always going to have the same multiple orders every single day right off. So it can be discouraging. So you feel like, okay, what am I doing wrong or how can I reach out more? And it is very discouraging, but you also can't overthink it because you can't stay stagnant. So it's like you have to find different ways to Sequoia helped me out because I'm trying to explain it, but it's like, you know, you have to use your other creative outlets to expand your business. You know what I'm trying to say?
What did you say?
I'm trying to say, like, your other creative outlet, use your other creative outlet mm-hmm. picks that you already have. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is very discouraging if you're starting out and you don't see that same flow of income or that same flow of support or whatever. So you do have to kind of keep recreating things and progressing, but you also have to believe that what you're creating is going to expand your business because it's not just going to come out of thin air. Like, you really have to manifest and believe the things that you're creating is going to create more income and more outlets and more opportunities. That's what I was trying mm-hmm. to say.
Yeah, definitely. You definitely have to, like, that's why it's just all about vision, really, because, like, you have to see it from a huge, big perspective, grand scale, like, end result that's probably going to be even bigger than what you're even imagining. You have to see it in the baby steps, how you can break it down in, like, minute things, and you have to think of, like, okay, after this picks up in, like, a year or 3 months, like, it's going to be here, and what can I do with it at that point, you know what I mean? And how can I prepare for that little extra leap up, you know what I mean?
Mhm. Definitely.
So I think you just, that's why it's hard. It's crazy for people to say, like, focus on one thing, like, how that doesn't even, you have to focus on so many layers of whatever it is you're creating.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of layers. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, people that have vision, and this gets back to employees, your vision is big. It's going to become bigger than you. And I feel mm-hmm. like one thing I learned is, like, there has to be a choice where I have to let go and trust myself enough to include other people. And I feel like sometimes
yeah.
you can really shelter your business because you want to be in control of it. And, like, you haven't really dealt with some insecure aspects. Like, it's one thing to be an artist and, like, you know yourself and be in control of, like, all the bookings and all the emails and all the phone calls
yeah.
and all that because you're saying
so
it the way you want it to
that.
Be said. And all, yeah, it's difficult. But then it becomes bigger than you. And it's like, in order to really balance your life and being there for your partner, your lover, and your children, and your family, and yourself, you have to delegate things. And you have to say, like, I'm going to let other people do this because it's impossible for me to have all the time to, like, you can't, if you're going to be a music star, like, you can have the vision for how you want the stage to be, but you're not going to be the person that can put all the light bulbs in and be all your backup dancers and
exactly.
all your singers and all the person playing all the music in your band. Like, you just can't, it can't be a one girl or one man show. It has to be
right.
a team effort. You know what I mean? And so I think that is super important to, like, let go of. I mean, I just had this realization. I was just at the nail shop and, like, my nails were old and they needed to come off, and, like, I kept looking and telling the dude, like, it hurts, you know, because it did. And he's like, look away, bro, like, look away, and, like, it will be easier. And when I looked away, like, he was able to just get them off so much easier, where, like, I feel like he couldn't have even done it while I was watching. And I was like, it was just a small lesson of, like, Sequoia, trust this man. You came to a professional. Trust your own judgment that you came somewhere that's going to take care of you, and let yourself just be taken care of, you know? And, like, that's very hard for people that are very business-minded or workaholics, because they want to do everything themselves. But it's just, like, you can't. Even with raising kids, you can't. As a parent, whether you're one parent or two parents, you can't do everything. You just can't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. It's okay to, you know, if you need to include somebody else in it, like I was telling Tashia too, like, if you can't afford somebody else to come, like, you can create, you can have an intern come. You can create other opportunities for a team. If somebody really believes in your vision, you know, they will. People volunteer for these fucking charities that be doing horrible things under the, you know, under the guise of whatever they claim they're doing. Like, why can't you have somebody that wants to volunteer their time or invest their money into backing you getting on a certain platform, you know, and just, like, really dealing with your trust issues with the world. Like, these people aren't going to screw me over, and I can identify the people that are going to screw me over and not let them be around me to even be worried about that.
Yeah, you definitely helped me with that. I'm still struggling with some aspects of it, but I feel a lot more confident in deciding who I'm going to work with. That's one thing I always said to myself. I never want to have anyone work for me. I want to work with someone, because I feel like we all have a vision. We all have a place we want to be in our lives, and I feel like anyone that I work with, we're all going to, you know, elevate and help each other get to the next level, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you definitely helped me with that. I'm still, you know, I'm learning to let go, and I realize that I can't do everything on my own, but it is definitely a process.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, even for me, like, you just deal with so many things, again, about the scarcity mindset and just your idea about people that are well off and all of these different kind of things. Because, like, me just spending time with my kids, like, I'm really reflecting on all the things that I want to do and I need to do, I have to do, because, like, my mission.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to spend, like, all my time cleaning my fucking house. Like, I don't have time for that, you know? Like, there's a lot of things, like, where it's like, it would be very useful if I had a personal assistant. Like, I really, you know, need that. It would be very useful if I had somebody that could, like, pick my kids up from this place and bring them home for me for a couple hours so I can have me time to go do these other things that I need to do. It would be very useful if I had somebody that came and did the deep cleaning, you know, once a week or a couple times a month, and, like, being okay with myself that, like, you know, I deserve that and it's okay and I shouldn't feel guilty. And that's very difficult because, you know, I feel like we have these just ideas and concepts about people that have those things, like maids or nannies or whatever. And we feel like those things are a waste of money, or, you know, who am I to have a personal assistant? Who the fuck do I think I am that I'm so important that I need a personal assistant? Like, you're important and you have a lot of things to do, you know, and if it will help balance your relationships in your life and take stress off you, like, and you can afford it and managing someone, do it.
That is very true. It'll help you not be so overwhelmed, because when you're doing everything on your own, you become very overwhelmed, especially when you're running your own business. So if you can have a personal assistant, do it, because it's very beneficial, and I can't wait till I get mine, because I feel like it's coming to that point, because everything is, you know, and I can't even complain, because when you get to that point, you know you're growing and your business is prospering, so I can't complain, but I can't wait to have an assistant.
I hate when people say that you shouldn't work with people that are your friends with or, like, family with. Like, that's bullshit. Like, that's who you want to be, like, but you want it to feel like a family. You don't want it to work with people that are just blood-related, but you guys don't really have a family-like relationship. So you have to be very wise about it, you know what I mean? But you want to have that, like, connection to people, and that they can believe in you and you can believe in them and they matter, because they're really going to, like, put – put in as much, if mm-hmm. not more, energy into what your vision is because they really believe right. in it and they really fuck with you, you know?
Exactly. That's very important. You can't just be hiring anybody. Like Sequoia said, it has to be like a family bond, even if they're not your family. It has to feel like that because, you know, you set the tone for everything. So how you vibe off of someone else or how you vibe with your company, like Sequoia said, they're going to want to invest and they're going to want to work harder. They're going to go, you know, above and beyond to, you know, make the company grow, to make your art grow. So that's very important. Sequoia, did you have anything else you wanted to add? Koya, are you still there?
I want to add is like just organizing, like how to manage your business. I think one thing that really helps me is like having one day a week where I'm not doing shit. And then like the next mm-hmm. day is like my Sundays are usually these days where this is my organization day. This is where I'm going over my calendar for the week. This is where I make my to-do list for the week. This is where I get all my ducks in a row. I communicate to whoever I need to communicate to about my kids or the radio show or whatever. And, you know, that way I feel grounded. Otherwise, if I don't have those, like, sit-down moments with myself and, like, know what's on the agenda, you know, then mm-hmm. I'll be scattered and I'll forget things. And, you know, setting alarms for, like, okay, I'm going to work at this time. I have appointments at this time. And, you know, really being connected to what's going on in my life, you know? I feel like
that's definitely
the most helpful thing. That you have to be organized. You have to be organized and you have to let go of things that are beneficial to you. When you have friends in your life that you've outgrown, when you have clothes that don't represent you anymore, because that reflects on mm-hmm. your ability to, like, market yourself as you are in this moment. When you're holding on to just junk in your fucking house, that affects you. It does. Like, it really purging when you need to purge, releasing and just flowing. It's really a lot is about flowing.
Yeah, I definitely have a lot of alarms and things on my calendars and things written out. One thing that helped me when I first started my business was writing out a checklist and putting it on my mirror. So every morning that I woke up or every night I went to bed, I would see it and write it off, or it would just be a reminder, because Sequoia really helped me a lot with telling me to write things down, because I'm a person that's always in my head. Like, I write when I do music or poetry or whatever, but as far as like writing down like things that I need to do, I was never that type of person, because it's always like a mental thing. But it helps so much, so you don't forget anything. If you are selling products or whatever, it helps with inventory. You know, when you need to order things, when you need to ship packages, when you need to do anything financial, it really helps to write things down so that you're not overwhelmed or forget anything.
Yeah, man.
And always writing good people down around you.
Man, that's essential. Like, they can make or break you, real shit.
Yeah, definitely. Because you learn a lot about people when you start your own journey of working for yourself. You know, you outgrow a lot of people and you meet new people that are, you know, and that's one thing, too, I always tell people. You never know who is watching in the move that you're making or the things that you're doing with your business that are waiting to invest in you. Like, there is someone always watching. And I really believe that, because, you know, I get a lot of emails every day and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, really, you've been inspired by me and or whatever. So it's just like, be as authentic, be as honest, and don't be afraid to promote your business and your art and show people, you know, what you stand for and what you represent, because it's people out there that are willing to invest in you.
Yeah, that's so true, man. Like, I really had that experience today, like, just an interview with somebody just saw me just somehow and just fucked with me. And I love about that is, like, it's organic. It's me just being myself and somebody seeing me as I am and saying, like, yo, I fuck with you and I want to, like, create something with you or connect you with something else. As opposed
right.
to, like, you're an employee and they're telling you who to be and you have to do X, Y, and
right.
Z in order to move up on their, you know what I mean? And it's just, it's so more freeing and liberating because it's, like, when you do get connections like that, it's reaffirming, like, it's okay to be me how I am and move how I move and do what I do. Because
right.
people are going to fuck with me doing that. So it's, like, fuck what everybody says about me having to be any other way than the way that I want to be.
Exactly. That is so true.
So
I definitely agree with that.
You know, so powerful.
Yeah, because, and that's another thing I want to mention too. Don't try not to let your, and I say this because on Twitter I see a lot of people that have their own businesses or start their own businesses. They let their personal intertwine with their business, and it's kind of like a turnoff. So be as professional as you possibly can. I'm not telling you what to do, but just try not to let your personal interfere with your business where it's just like drawing people away, you know, because you are authentic and you are who you are with your business, but you're also a different person outside of your business. So try to be as professional as you can without, you know, like I said, letting your personal interfere with your business because it's very important. Huh?
I was just going to say, don't get your business in your business. Like, I remember I was watching this, like, Beyonce documentary, and she had, like, two people working under her, and they were, like, in her face. Not in her face,
oh, yeah,
but sitting down
talking
to her, and she's like, yo, y'all need to take this somewhere else, you know what I mean? Because
that's exactly.
clearly something with y'all egos that y'all got going on, and you don't need to bring that to me, like, that's irrelevant,
exactly.
It has nothing to do with me, it's something
it
personal,
her.
Like, exactly, and it's the same thing, like, you don't want all, because once it's out there, you know what I mean? So, like,
yes.
you don't want to be reminded
yeah.
of, like, all of your business that you've shared because you're going
to
outgrow that, you know what I mean? So you have
yeah.
to be
and
very,
you have to deal
very,
with it.
Yeah, you have to be very aware of, like, just business that is personal but is shared for healing purposes and, you know,
right.
affirming people and what is, like, that's just dead. Like, we don't need to give no more life to that, you know, and
right.
really knowing the difference between the two because, you know, that kind of drama is, like, that's not the kind of drama you want. You want
right.
to, like, the wisdom after the drama. You want to share that, not, like,
exactly.
the drama as it's going on. Like, you don't want your life to be, like, some fucking reality TV for people. You just don't want
for
that.
For real.
You
know. We all want
I mean,
that
even,
in the business mix.
Even me, like, even though I like to be out there, like, even with, like, relationships, like, I learned, like, keep that shit you got to keep sacred. That's why the people
yeah.
that are very successful at balancing out their lives, you don't see the, all of their personal life out there like that.
Exactly.
Like Sade, you don't see her out there, all her business being out there. She, you know, does her creative thing, you know, her business shit, and
mm-hmm.
her other stuff is behind the scenes. Jay-Z and Beyonce, like,
yeah,
how long did it take them to put out that they were, like, actually in a relationship? Even though we knew,
exactly.
but it was, like, nigga, and they don't talk about each other. Like, and, you know,
right.
like, Jay doesn't talk about Beyonce in his interviews. He's like, we don't need to talk about that. That's my business.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, like, you're focusing
so,
on their craft and their art because you're not distracted
right.
by their personal lives. And
right,
I feel like
exactly.
a lot of people, especially now, it's just like everything is so freely and open that sometimes you forget, wait, I don't want to reveal too much of myself. That's always been a big thing for me. I still deal with it. Like, I'm still struggling with, like, can I reveal this much of myself? Or I just need to, you know, that's how I've always been. But I feel like it's very important to keep certain things private. Like, you don't need to tell the whole world about your whole life. Like, keep some
right.
mystery and keep
mm-hmm.
your personal from your business, because as much as people love drama, if you bring that in your business, they're not going to buy from you because you keep up a lot of drama and you have, like, this negative energy. Like, nobody
they
wants
don't
to buy from a business like that.
And they don't want that vibes in their reality, you know? They're like,
exactly.
I'm not on that shit, you know? That's going the opposite direction. I might as well fuck with fuck with Walmart, my nigga. Like,
right.
You know, and I'm saying, I mean, we
exactly.
gotta fuck with Walmart sometimes, but I'm just saying, like, if I'm gonna make my
but
way
exactly.
to, like, forge a new path, it's gonna be a different path.
And that's crazy too, because the same people that they will entertain it, but when it comes to business, like, they're not gonna like support you, and that's so crazy, because you'd be like, oh, you know, they entertain it, but after that, what, you're not gonna get no more business because of how you're presenting your business, how you're representing it. So keep all of that, all, you know, if it's, just don't do anything that's gonna mess up your money. That's all I'm gonna say, because it's the internet, and everything from your past lives on it. So be careful with the moves that you make.
Yeah, so true. Like, I don't even like posting my kids hella out there like that. Like, I'll talk
definitely.
About them, but it's like, y'all don't need to see pictures of them in the bathtub and shit. I'm sorry. You just,
yeah.
You don't need to see videos of them, their tantrums and shit like that.
Exactly.
Like, you just don't need to see that.
And I feel like a lot of the videos that come across the internet is like the parents are embarrassing their children. They think it's cute.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, was that even necessary? Like, you can just keep that to yourself. And now all of Twitter and Instagram are making memes out of it. And,
bruh.
You know, just it's ridiculous. Like, y'all, you don't have to share every single thing. And now the kids got to grow up and see all of this. Like, what?
Because once it's on the internet, bro, it ain't no going back, bro.
Exactly. Yeah, people will screenshot, save everything, like, in 22 seconds. Like, just be careful with you, too.
Yeah, really.
Please, because it's nothing worse than making one little mistake or getting in your feelings and you can't take it back, so...
That's why that support system is essential, because if
yes.
you have a support system, you can talk to them about, like, bruh, Luna was turning up on me. Like,
exactly.
You know,
like,
you send that to them. You don't
talk.
Yeah, you don't have to put it up, like, on the internet where you're, like, people are going to just take it and run with it. You're going to have people you can trust, you
yes.
know, that you can help pick you up or support you and stuff.
That's why celebrities and famous people have PRs, because it keeps them from looking like crazy people and getting
I mean, we're crazy,
out there.
Crazy. Yeah, but yeah, we got to work through our crazy, you know. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it keeps you from having your business all out there. I'll say that because,
yeah.
I feel like everyone's just so used to knowing everybody's business that it's like you get kind of clowned for being a private person. Like, what? How am I? You know, like, it's not taboo to not share all your business. But, yeah, it's definitely important when you're running your own business. Like, keep that separate. Like, just don't even do it. Just stay professional as possible.
Yeah, and make sure who you got, again, who you got in your circle. Because if you got some people
mm-hmm.
in your circle that ain't true, and you tell them your personal business, people can be bought, okay? They will go to the media and be like,
exactly.
They're going through these relationship problems, and she told me that he said this. And,
right? They're going to do anything to sell that story and get some money for it.
So you
got to be
stay aware.
You choose in your circle.
They woke out here, bruh.
Seriously, though. And that's crazy. You just have to really, and I feel like once you grow in your business, you'll know, you'll have a feeling of who you can trust and who you can, like, work with or whatever. Just keep those things in mind, because I feel like people forget those certain aspects when you're having your own company. Like, even me, I have a lot of people on my business Twitter and Instagram that follow me on my personal, and I'm just like, oh, why?
Like, yeah, don't do that.
And I have to, like, do the block, unblock method, because I'm just like, yo, I can't, you know, you get certain pieces on me on my business account, but, like, you just can't, just don't do it. Just don't.
Yeah, I can't do that. Like, especially my personal Twitter with my clients. Whoa. They were like, who is this freaky sexual woman? My God.
Exactly. Like,
talking about pussy, pussy this and pussy that.
Right.
Good.
My nigga, but that's so true, though, because I'm just like, y'all know me on my business, too, but y'all know me on my personal. But even on my personal, I don't share that much, but it's still a different
yeah.
side of me that I'm just like,
yeah.
no, no, just stay on my business Twitter. You don't have to follow me on my personal, you know.
Man.
Even though I do RT a lot on my personal Twitter, but it's usually mm-hmm. just like inspirational stuff. But still.
Right.
To stay on the business side.
Yeah. Oh, so what's up with the callers?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me check. We don't have any callers, so.
Oh, y'all lame. Okay, look, it was so weird the other week. Like, it looked like we had no callers on the switchboard, but then, like, when I went on Twitter and shit, people were like, yo.
I know.
I listened, and I'm like, you did? Because they're like, hey, it was a good show. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I think it's something with Block Talk because they always tripping on something. So we might have listeners and callers and don't even know it because,
man.
Yeah.
Man, I'm about to get on this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was just saying,
yeah.
like, I'm about to get on this train in a few minutes, so it might cut out. So if there's no callers, I'm not sure if you want to stay on the line if it cuts out or...
Well, we can just end the show 30 minutes early if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, because...
Okay.
I feel like I mean...
Everything.
Yeah, that's what I think so, too. See, y'all got to call in, bruh, because...
Yeah.
You know?
But you know what? I also think it has something to do with Kobe's last game, so everybody's in the mix about that.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Divine wine hours ain't important as Kobe. It's okay.
Right.
Y'all can get us on the next day availability
yeah.
online.
But, I mean,
so,
they'll listen once the show is posted, so it's all good.
Yeah. So, all right, well, I think it's cool to just end it 30 minutes early tonight. We ain't going to do something regular, but we got some things in motion over here.
For tonight. Yeah. So, we hope y'all enjoy the rest of your night, and we hope that you've got a lot of information from the show. And you can also hit me up on Twitter at Songbird Shea and my company, Butter Me Up Goods, and visit buttermeupgoods.com for all of your skincare needs.
Hey, hit up Mommy Hella Sacred, get my new book, Bella Luna, my old book, Puzzle Pieces of My Soul, and my affirmation of the week. My affirmation of the week is self-love is your superpower.
And my affirmation of the week is, oh, my God, what is it? whatever is meant for you won't miss you.
Hey, okay. We out here, bro.
And also,
have a good one.
Yeah, and I also want to give a shout-out to Nari. Make sure you guys
follow
her company, The Love Utopia, and at Kush Fruit on Twitter. And visit theloveutopia.com for some self-love skincare products. So
yes, she got the incense.
She
got the oils. She got the soap. She got she got everything. She got the waist beads. I'm wearing only her waist beads. So yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah. And yeah, make sure you guys check us out next Wednesday. And we hope you enjoyed the show.
All right, peace.